Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor. Hello, artists. This is episode 65 of Art Talk, and let's talk from here today. As you probably know, the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam had an exhibition about Vermeer. It had huge press. Marketing was full stop on it, and tickets were sold out before the doors opened. In this episode, I want to discuss the documentary I've watched close to Vermeer and propose a way we might look at Vermeer's art. With all the tech available, how deep should we go and demystify the mystic? In other words, if an old master is declared a genius when demystifying his methods, should it still give him the label of genius? Then I will also discuss the discrepancy between his early works and later work that made him famous, and the attribution of a painting still up for discussion. These are discussions that art historians like, obviously, but often end in an endless yes, because, no, because, or the expert. The expert decides it is not real or it is real. Obviously, artists in that time, and even before that, were not even remotely thinking about something as copyright. Masters frequently used work from their fellow artists if someone commissioned them and pointed to a painting they liked and wanted themselves placed into it. Copyright is a very modern invention, and rightfully so, by the way. It has also to do with the values added to a work and artist, and that is what for many it is all about. The discussion is interesting for art historians, but not necessary if we do what I will discuss later. Before we dive into those questions, let me first give a little bit of background about Vermeer. Since Vermeer is in a Mauritshuis in the Netherlands with the girl with a pearl earring, I took their information on what is known about Vermeer. Because there's not much information about Vermeer's past, he might have been trained by fellow artist Karel Fabricius, 1622-1654, or by Leonard Bramer, 1596-1674. Vermeer was a Protestant, but in 1653 he married a rich Catholic woman, Catharina Bolnes, and they had 14 children. The whole family lived with Catherine's mother, Maria Tins. After his death, Vermeer's name was almost forgotten. For many years, people thought his paintings were by other artists who were better known at the time, such as Pieter de Hoogh, 1629-1684. But Vermeer was rediscovered in the 19th century by the French art critic Théophile Thoré, 1807-1869. He called him a genius and made sure he received lots of international attention, as he still gets today. It was between 1933 and 1935 that there was a sudden hype around collecting Vermeer. Vermeer started working as a painter around 1654. His earliest works were history paintings, pictures of scenes from the Bible and from mythology. They were inspired by painters from Amsterdam and Utrecht. Vermeer's mother-in-law had worked by him in her small art collection, so he could see them every day. Vermeer lived in Delft his whole life and was famous in his town. The Delft Painters Guild chose him as its leader twice. The only surviving panoramic view of Delft is by Vermeer. The wealthy art collector Pieter Klaas van Ruiven of Delft loved Vermeer's work and was one of his biggest customers. He owned half of the paintings Vermeer ever produced, and that was nothing more than 36, maybe 37. Close to Vermeer, the documentary about the making of the exhibition is interesting because it shows the work that goes into it, the collaborations that emerge, but also some other very interesting aspects. The curator who creates this exhibition is a lifelong lover of Vermeer. He frequently gets very emotional when speaking about Vermeer and what it means to be an art historian. His first encounter with Vermeer made him faint as a young schoolboy. It changed his life. Apart from other curators and researchers, there's also an artist who paints Baroque paintings and has also a particular love for Vermeer. He and the curator meet each other frequently to discuss Vermeer's work and, at some point, whether a painting is by Vermeer or not. And why it's bad. Because they don't like it. The first part leads from the stunning shadows that are in color to the camera obscura. Looking at a painting, the question is, how did he do this? They look through the camera obscura and can see what Vermeer must have seen. The curator then says that Vermeer did not work with it, but had seen through it and was just in awe as he is. But on his quest to find answers, he stumbles upon the fact that the neighbors of Vermeer were Jesuits who made lenses and objectives. In an archive, he finds proof that they traced the portrait of an old woman on parchment, obviously through the camera obscura. He still doubts if you can trace that, but when they try, it works perfectly. We can then confirm that Vermeer worked with the camera obscura. Hence, the intricate shadows he painted, with no underdrawing or underpainting. There are not even sketches made by Vermeer. Next, his early work is history paintings. From what they know, he had lessons by either fellow Delft artist Karel Fabricius or by Leonard Bramer, and made some pictures from the Bible and mythology based on painters from Amsterdam and Utrecht. The painter in the documentary looks at them and doesn't understand them. To him, they are from a beginner, not very talented, and all over the place. Till suddenly, they're all small paintings of scenes that are extremely complex and ingenious. He asks himself why Vermeer put so much time and what he claims skill in such small paintings. Thinking about this, it almost looks too obvious. Yes, he had lessons, probably. His skill was in the knowledge of paint, and they were very good at that at the time, obviously, and he was able to paint history pieces. So you can ask yourself, would he have continued with that if he felt or was told he was talented enough or had really the thrive to be that artist, like other artists? Just imagine he finds out that his neighbors make lenses and objectives, and they show him how they use them to trace. Vermeer is curious how he can use that to his advantage. And voila, the so-called genius is born. Hence the huge discrepancy between his early work and later work. And I wouldn't even be surprised if he thought commercially. One thing, as a side note, I want to mention is that the artist claimed that Vermeer was a feminist because he painted only women. I don't think he understands the meaning of being a feminist. Male painters always painted more women than men. And in that respect, women are almost defined by the male gaze. That's another episode. But when watching this, I had the thought that those who are so in love with Vermeer, completely believe in his genius, and then do not want to see anything else. And that becomes clear when they want to show two Vermeers from the US. One of them, the girl with the flute, is questioned if it is made by Vermeer. The researcher from the USA has a few strong points. First of all, no painting of Vermeer looks you straight in the eye. The green shadow is way thicker applied than Vermeer did. Of course, this is a shock to the curator, which you can see in his posture and who has to swallow deeply a few times to accept this input and view. This is also when a Vermeer he sees is not as good as Vermeer usually works. The show is rushed, and he is in sort of pain about it. The American collector gives his painting to the research team in Amsterdam to see if there is something else under the show. Again, the posture of the curator speaks volumes. He doesn't think it's a good painting, but there is nothing under it, so it is a Vermeer. The input of the painter is that it is a copy Vermeer made, but a bad one, and he can't understand why Vermeer should have done that. Well, let me explain as an artist myself. Not all works are masterpieces. Some works are not finished, and some are sketches of ideas. So what I can imagine is that this particular painting didn't come out as wanted. And then he used it for another painting that he completely finished. Of course, we do not know, because Vermeer gives no account whatsoever of anything he did. So what can we learn from this? Well, first of all, the fact that in the 19th century, a man, Théophile Thoré, obviously loved art and did his utmost to bring certain artists back to so they wouldn't be forgotten. He declared Vermeer a genius and placed the painter, famous in his time in his hometown, on a pedestal that became even higher between 1933 and 1935. When there was a rush on his art. Ever since, Vermeer has been declared a genius. The documentary shows how, mainly by the two people who deeply love Vermeer, the painter who changed their lives. Now my question is someone who traced the portraits and complex scenes a genius? In my opinion, not. His skills were not that good to start with, and in a way, he fooled everyone who claimed his genius. And don't underestimate the ones who still do, by the way, despite his use of the camera obscura. And even after decades, they discovered the truth, which was, by the way, already discovered by artist David Hockney. The fact that the artist did not understand the huge discrepancy between Vermeer's early work and later work, because it showed such a huge difference, maybe can be seen as proof of Vermeer not being the talent he wanted to be, and the extra proof of his use of the camera obscura. Suddenly his work became genius. How does that then relate to now? Yes, we know that many amateurs copy, paste, and trace by projecting instead of working hard on their skills, and maybe acknowledging that are not such prolific artists. And so what, by the way? Many have other things they are good at. There are artists that use art, and there are real artists who go all the way to learn and hone their skills. And by the way, tech is there and can now fully look through and see. Another perspective I want to propose on this Vermeer situation as well, as the old masters who are found to use trace by using the camera obscura. What is the point of demystifying the mystic? If there are people like the curator and painter who are so in love with the art of Vermeer to the extent that it changed their lives, then why, after decades, demystify it? It is something of this time. We somehow want to go deeper and deeper to satisfy the urge for reason or filling an emptiness because we are bored. Technology can do a lot. It brings us to the threat of the canvas. There is this thing that everyone wants to know everything to the bone. It is wanting to see how we as artists work when you paint, snooping around in your studio, seeing how you apply a brushstroke, etc. And by the way, this applies not only to art, but almost everything in life. In research, that is also the case. But it takes away all that, what makes art so intriguing. It takes away why those two men cried, because that art touched them so deeply. It takes away the mysticism that art should be. But artists, there's something else that is very important. But let me share a short story that I at first thought was maybe a bit over the top, but now can definitely see as very important. Back in the day, I was shooting a documentary about my cousin, who is an artist in the Netherlands and well known for his portraits. Whilst filming, he showed us notebooks, and not just one notebook, but a lot of them, filled to the brim with notes and sketches of work that he made. On my question why he did this, he answered, "For art historians." At that time, I thought, well, isn't that a bit arrogant? I mean, but no, this documentary, my interview with conservationist Kristen de Ketaldi and Karen van Hooy-Smit, made it very clear that we as artists not only paint and create, but also make note of what we do, why we do it, sign every little piece you create, even if it is a sketch or test or experiment, sign it with date, what material you used, from paint to canvas or board, and your notebook too, and maybe why you painted it, who bought it from you, or who commissioned it, the story behind it, everything you can come up with. I know you might think, oh my God, more work to do, but honestly, it's not, and it's fun too. It is caring about everything you do. Most importantly, as Kristen de Ketaldi said, it will make life